sent me right now, Lord. Is blessing me right now, Lord, right now.
Everybody join in and sing.
He woke me up this morning, yeah. Right now, right now.
Amen. Amen. What a privilege it is to have these singing birds here today. Good God Almighty. Anybody else here can sing a solo next Sunday? Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Brother Francis, Frank, and Phyllis Hale are awaiting the birth of their ninth great grandchild today. Amen. Amen. Yes. 75 years from now, we will celebrate that baby's birthday. That baby can come to the senior citizens luncheon 75 years from today. Amen. Let's go. Well, I say let's go, but I'm certain that you're already there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Got it, say amen. Let's read and go read slow with me. Let's read. Y'all ready? March, read, set, go. Y'all got, wait a minute, where's everybody? Let's go. Let's go with the screen. Go therefore. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That wait. Let's do that again. Give me that again. Stay with me. Y'all ready? Let's read. Go. That's enough. Y'all ready? Let's read. Go. That's enough. Y'all ready? Let's read. That's it. That's it. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? One more time. Let's read. I want to talk about the gospel of go. The gospel of go. You know, this is like sermon number 12 from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. This is like sermon number 12. And put that back on the screen for us, that verse 19. Give us the verse again. And we read it so fast until we miss the real commandment. And so as I've been preaching the verse 19, and everybody get to the door, oh, I enjoyed it, I enjoyed it, I enjoyed it. But I really haven't seen the fruit of this piece. So as I prayed, I've been praying because, you know, a half full church is a half empty church. And our church has no reason to be half full. I was listening to Louis sing, great, great singer, great music, full band. So if people like music, we got the music. I was listening to the choir sing. I mean, just wonderful. The altos were hitting it. The sopranos were hitting it. The baritones and the bass were hitting it. I mean, the music was melodious. The voices were melodious. And so if you like the voices, if you like choirs, it's here. I listened to this young man pray today. Yeah. I listened to the young man pray today. And if people go to church because you stand in the need of prayer, you don't find any better praying, more anointed praying than you got today. I mean, just could have flipped me over with the words of God that was flowing from his mouth. If you like the excitement of good singing, Eileen, I don't know whether she was putting her shoes on or what she was doing, but when she finally got through doing whatever she was doing and made her way to the stage, she sung that song. And she reminded us that there is power in the name of Jesus. Lakita reminded us that the Lord is blessing us not yesterday, not after a while, but right now. So even if you need good messages in music, you've got that today. Well, if it's preaching that you like, I ain't bad now. I ain't bad. As a matter of fact, I'm better now than I've ever been. I don't mean I sound better. I don't mean I look better. But I mean, I've been through enough. I know what I'm preaching about now. I'm not just preaching to be preaching. I'm preaching because I know what I'm talking about. And when you know what you're talking about, that's what good preaching is. It ain't how you sound. It ain't how many points you got. It's when you know what you talking about. And you know who you're talking about. And so there's no reason for Mount Olivet. I know we've been through, but there's no reason for us to have a pew in this place that does not have a behind in it. And the kind of preaching, intentional preaching that we have been doing is designed to bring hearts into this place, to bring minds into this place, to bring souls into this place, into the kingdom of God, and to bring bodies into this place. And so when I looked at it, I said, God, what are we missing? And the Lord said the first word, and I couldn't understand what he was saying when he said the first word. And I went back and I read, go ye therefore. And the Lord said, stop, you're doing it right there. He said, go back and read that text. I went back and read the text. It says, go therefore and teach all nations. And the Lord said, stop, you're still doing it. And when I read again, I said, go. The Lord said, stop, you can preach this text, verse 19 and 20, for the rest of this season. But if we miss the gospel of go, then we miss all of this season of preaching, and every pew that we got remains like it is because we miss what this text is teaching us today. I would say in the old times when the Lord would give me series of messages to preach, you know, I'm just like anybody else. I like when people enjoy what you, everybody likes for folk to enjoy what you're doing. And I say, God, I've been preaching this so long. People are tired of it. It's hard preaching similar sermons every week from the same text without saying the same thing. And if you're not going to get results, see results, why do it? It's like, this is what I told the Lord. Why do it if you're not going to get results? I know much easier ways. I've had to argue with God about preaching this text for 12 and 13 weeks and then tell Ricky Jr., when you come here, this is the text to preach because this is what God says preach. And to tell Winterborn, when you come to preach, you got to preach about evangelism. You got to preach about winning souls. You got to preach about bringing people into a relationship with God. You just can't get up, preach what you want to preach. You got to preach about bringing people to Christ. And in this series, this time, I've not been bothered, I've not been nervous, I've not been concerned who wanted to hear this and who didn't. I know the task that God has set for this church. I know that God is getting ready to rebuild his church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as spiritual houses." And so what I've discovered that God is doing for all of us is one by one, he's building us up individually. Because you can't hold anybody else up when you are weak as water. And so what God is doing for each of us individually is he's building us up. Somebody say, he's building me up. He's making me stronger. He's building my faith. He's giving me hope. He's increasing my faith. He's increasing my strength. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. And I'm getting wiser. God is getting ready to rebuild his church. Like Nehemiah rebuilt the fallen walls, and like he rebuilt the burned gates of Jerusalem, God is getting ready to rebuild his church. Like Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, "The brick walls that fell will be rebuilt with dressed stones, and the sycamore trees that were cut down are going to be replaced with cedar trees." In other words, God just, he just knows what he's doing. Amos chapter 9, verse 11, he says, "I will raise up the fallen. I will repair the breaches. I will raise up the ruins, and I will rebuild it as in the days of old." In other words, I need somebody to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you ain't seen nothing yet." Because God's getting ready to rebuild it. He's getting ready to raise up that which fell. He's getting ready to repair that which was broken. He's getting ready to raise up the ruins. And the Bible says, as in the days of old. And now when he says the days of old, he's not saying the way it was yesterday. He's saying the way it was when folk had a heart for God. The way it was when people loved the Lord because he heard their cry. The way it was when people fellowshipped and that fellowship went from heart to heart and breath to breath. God's saying, "I'm raising it up the way I built it to be in the first place." And so out of obedience to God, to the God that I serve, out of obedience to my sustainer and my refuge and my strength and my provider and my very present help in a time of trouble, I talk to you today about the gospel of go. Well, thank God for these dictionaries on our phone. The word go is a verb. Now, y'all know that's one of the things. I think we learned that kind of stuff in like the third grade. Nouns are names of places, people, places. Come on, don't y'all know that? And things. Yeah, nouns are names of people, places, and things. And verbs are action words. Action words. And the word go, used without an object, means, first it means went. You know, without an object, gone. Without an object, going. And what does it mean? It means to move. Somebody say to move. You can't preach the gospel of go. You can't get the gospel of go and then don't move. It means to proceed. It means to take what you got somewhere else, especially to a form or something. The go means to keep it in motion. Don't let it go stale. Don't let it get dry. Go means to endure. It means to tolerate. It means to act on something. If I was in revival, I said, can I get a witness? Go, go. It means to function. It means to perform an action. It means to make something happen. The first two letters of the gospel of go, G-O, we are to go. We are to make something happen. Do you know that God does not do anything for us that we can do for ourselves? It's like God is not, I don't care how many clothes you got and how much power God has, God is not going to dress you. You got to put your own clothes on. It's just some stuff God's not going to do. God is, I don't care. He's not going to comb your hair. You just can't get enough faith. Well, you say, well, you know, you might put a wig on and think God combed your hair. But under that, you know, just some things you've got to do. And when it comes down to winning souls, God's saying, I will build you up. He's saying, I will make you to be a spiritual house. But when it comes to winning souls, I'm not going to do it. You got to do it. Mayor Lovely Warren has an initiative where she's working hard to introduce the police officers of Rochester to residents of Rochester. And so she asked the clergy to come and walk with her in the streets of, we did the 19th Ward this weekend. She asked clergy to come and walk with her, and clergy would introduce the policemen to the residents of the 19th Ward. As we walked, that is, go, somebody said go. As we went, we walked the streets, the 19th Ward, from house to house. And I can honestly say I forgot that I was supposed to be introducing the policemen to the residents. People were coming out. They were sitting on the porches. They were standing. They were playing cards. They were playing spades. They were drinking beers. Y'all know what this is. They were shooting dice. That's what my daddy called it when he did it. They were doing everything, and I was walking up to people, the policemen with me, and I'm asking people about Jesus, and surprised at how receptive the man who's throwing his dice was to a conversation about Jesus, asking men about Christ, asking folk about church, asking folk about salvation. Here's one of the interesting things that the group and I discovered, that most folk in the 19th Ward have heard of Mount Olivet. Most folk in the 19th Ward have heard of Ricky Harvey. We went to one house, and I said, I'm pastor of Mount Olivet Baptist Church, and the proper thing to do was, I'm pastor of Mount Olivet Baptist Church, and we are a group of citizens walking to introduce our police officers to our communities. And then we would go on and on, and I said, I'm Pastor Ricky Harvey, Mount Olivet Baptist Church, and we were standing there, and one lady said, are you Ricky Harvey? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you at Mount Olivet Baptist Church? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you still there? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, God. I said, oh, you didn't get the rest of the story. And all of us, the mayor, we just bust out laughing. But the point that I got from that is people are receptive to conversations about Jesus. Y'all know what I discovered this week is that the problem is not that they are not out there for us to get. The problem is we're not going to get them. Everybody in the 19th Ward seems to have known something about Mount Olivet. Some people know this church because even though they are not members of anybody's church, we ran into people who attended this church for Holy Week and not members of anybody's church. Oh, I know that church. I go there for Holy Week. I've been to the Harvest Week. Larry Pugh asked me in a meeting once, he says, how do we get bodies in this church? He says, how do we get more behinds in the pews? He says, how do we get more members? And I was thinking about that, Larry, when I looked at this text, the Great Commission calls us to go. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God has called us to do. Most Christians do not go to others with the gospel. We might go to others with gossip. You don't have no business knowing about me like that if you're not a member of this church. You don't have any business knowing about Mount Olivet like that if you're not a member of this church. He does not say go and take the gossip. He says go and take the gospel. We have fallen into the corporate Christianity trap. We have fallen into the it will eventually happen trap. I mean, if we just be good, if we just treat people right, I mean, if we just be nice from here on out, it'll grow. There's nothing in the Bible that says the body of Christ will grow if you'll just be good to each other from here on out. It says, go and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. You didn't grow into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ just because somebody was nice. You grew into a relationship with Jesus Christ because you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We think that the unsaved will, listen to me, come here. We think that the unsaved will eventually make their way to the Lord on their own. Maybe it's because of some of the songs that we sing. I came to Jesus as I was. Yeah, but I didn't come on my own. I came because grandma and mama took me. Y'all heard that song that says, somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on their mind. Somebody took the time to pray for me. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody had you on their mind. Somebody took the time to pray for you. And so look where we have grown as a church. When is the last time we prayed for somebody's soul? I mean, if your house is on fire, we pray. If you're in trouble, we pray. If your marriage is in trouble, we pray. If your job is threatening to leave town, we pray. But when have we prayed for somebody's soul to be saved? We think that somehow if we just leave it to the church that they will get there eventually. Well, that's true. Now, that's true, but you don't forget that brick and mortar is not the church. Don't forget that pews and microphones are not the church. We are so busy with schedules that we forget to go. We're so busy with our schedules that we forget about soul winning. Not many hearts are burdened about unsaved souls. Not many hearts are burdened about the unchurched people, because unchurched people are not like us. Now, can I tell y'all something? I know the tape is on. Don't send this tape to Memphis, because I don't want my mama to hear it. Mama told me, I said, Mama, how the church doing? Honey, we got people joining the church now that ain't never been to church. Our church just full. They ain't got the kind of people that we used to have, and we got people in our church that ain't never been to church. Honey, they come up in there all kind of ways. They come in there with blue jeans on. They don't know nothing about church. They come in with blue jeans on. They come in with spaghetti straps on. Honey, they come in with the tattoos showing. That ain't the kind of church we had. Honey, they don't have jobs. They don't do this. Honey, you know, our church has always been this kind of church. And I sat there and I looked at my mama. And I could not believe that those words were coming out of my mama's mouth. Let me tell y'all something. First of all, the Harvey family is just a paycheck removed from being those folk. First of all. But wait, don't clap. I want you to hear this. It's the Harvey family that used to drive that 1969 Tempest Pontiac, that 1969 four-door Tempest Pontiac to the church. And every Sunday after church, somebody was raising our hood and giving us a boost off. I just haven't forgotten where I came from. I still remember getting a booster. I remember going to church in that same Tempest Pontiac car. You get there and on our way home run out of gas. And it wasn't even embarrassing. I mean, it was just good that we made it to church today and home. I wish I had a witness here. I know y'all so far removed from the old days that you can't even remember when it was tough. Now, I don't remember when it was tough. Wait, listen. I don't remember when it was tough either, because it wasn't even tough. I mean, you go to church, you run out of gas, you get out, and you start walking, and that was just it. Didn't nobody complain about we were out of gas. I mean, lights were off for 6 months at the time. And we, now that God has blessed us to have houses paid for, custom tailored clothes, decent cars, extra money, now we're talking about them folks. And we have forgotten that we used to be them folks, and most of us still are them folks. And if you are not them folks, then help them folks to become like you have become. Pews are empty And jailhouses are full and nobody cares. Pews are empty, streets are full. Pews are empty, drug houses are full. I got to drink water. This kind of preaching is hard. If I was hooping today, my mouth wouldn't get dry. Hit me, Lewis. There you go. This hard preacher. Let me say this again. Pews are empty. Jailhouses are full. And nobody wants to have a meeting for that. Pews are empty and streets are full and nobody says, let's have a meeting. Pews are empty and drug houses are full and nobody says, let's have a meeting. Now look how you looking at me. I wish I had, Brenda, I wish I had them screens on like that other church so y'all could see how you're looking at me. Like the nerve of you to want some folk from the drug house in here. Well, let me say this. Don't frown on the drug house. Don't frown on the jail house. Don't frown on the street. Some of your sons and daughters are there. Don't frown, don't frown. I mean, just because they are not in the bulletin, it ain't like we don't know. Some of your brothers and sisters are there. Some of your nephews and nieces, can I just be honest? Maybe y'all got the perfect family. Y'all don't have a dysfunctional family. But I could go on vacation, take 2 weeks and visit nephews and cousins and folk in my family that's in jail right now. Look like they've been in jail more than they have been free. So don't frown up on the jail houses. Some of your husbands, when they're not on the pew with you, they in jail. Some of your wives are there, and we are so involved with everything and everybody until nowadays we just don't have time to go. You know why? We is important. President of the block club, president of the library club, president of the Monday night madness club, president of the Martin Luther King club, president of the chess club, president of the NAACP club, president of the motorcycles club, president of the neighborhood association club, president of the decoration club, president of the get out to vote club, president of the Tuesday night club, president of the Wednesday night club, president of the Thursday night club, president of the Friday night fish fry club, president of the tea club, president of the me club, president of the my club, president of the dog club, the cat club, everybody presidents now, everybody busy, everybody being president. Nobody has time for soul winning. Nobody has time for churching the unchurched. Everybody in the house is a president. We've fallen into that corporate trap. We're so busy with schedules that we forget soul winning is the gospel of gold. That's what God has called Mount Olivet to do. That's what God has called the church to do. That's what God has called Ricky Harvey to do. That's what God has called deacons to do and trustees to do and ministers to do and musicians to do and choirs to do. That's our calling. We're more interested in keeping the church solvent instead of keeping souls out of hell. We're more interested in empty bank accounts than we are empty pews. Folk will come to the church meeting on canes, crutches, wheelchairs, wheelbarrows, arms in swings, legs in casts, patches on their eyes, colds, pneumonia, valley fever, TB, AIDS, and cancer, but you can't get them to an evangelism meeting. A meeting where we come together to talk about how to win somebody to Jesus so that their souls will not be lost. They say, well, we got to look out for our church. But if you look out for the unsaved, God will look out for the church. Hit me right there, Lewis. You're going to have to say amen for me. So, I got a few questions that I want to ask you today. And then I'm gone. Is that all right?
Can I ask you a few questions? Why is it that Christians do not go? Don't y'all answer. This is a test. I got the answers. That's what Donald Trump said. I can fix it alone. But I want y'all to know I cannot fix this alone. You can't fix this alone. Somebody said, together we stand, divided we fall. And so I just want to give you an answer to these questions. Why is it so hard for Christians to go? One, it's wrong priorities. We love to do what we love to do. We love socializing. We love parties. We love sports. We love dinners. We love meeting, greeting, and eating. We love self-improvement. Every time you turn around, somebody is gone to another seminar. Some of us are going to just seminar ourselves to death. How to get rich, how to retire seminar, how to think clear, how to love yourself, how to like yourself, how to know yourself, how to respect yourself, how to stand up straight, how to comb your hair, how to cook your food, how to eat your food, how to wear your glasses, how to wear your clothes, just seminars. Where you at seminar? Where you going to the seminar? What you doing? I'm at seminar. Can't talk now, I'm at seminar. Can't text now, I'm at seminar. Home later, I'm at seminar. And they are all probably good. It's nice to know how to wear your clothes. Y'all know where we learn how to wear our clothes? At home. You don't have to go to a seminar to learn how to sit up at the table. You either set up straight and put your hand where it needs to be, even though we were eating the same thing, milk and bread. I just love being honest. Eat what I want to eat now, but I grew up on milk and bread. Sweet milk and bread in the morning, buttermilk and bread in the evening. You know what? I'm talking to some folk in here that grew up on milk and bread. But you ain't ate no milk and bread so long and no pinto beans until you done forget that they still make pinto beans. So it's wrong priorities. The Great Commission rates low on our list. That's past for us because the Great Commission is our priority. That's not for me, says the average person. That's the pastor's job. That's why we pay him. And I will eventually, but right now I'm busy. I'm living the life I love. I love the life I live. Ain't got no time for doing what the pastor's supposed to be doing. And you know what? I'm glad to be here in this season because the contracts are different now. A friend of mine just called me and he says, Pastor, he says, Ricky, I'm signing a contract for the church and they got on the contract. If you can not draw within 6 months, your contract becomes null and void. He says, what shall I do? I say, you're asking the wrong person. Your answer is in the Bible. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where we are called to be drawing cards. The book says, if he be lifted up from the earth, then God will draw. I say, it's a sad mistake for the church, and it's a sad mistake for you to think that you have drawing power. I say, now don't get me wrong. I say, all of us are hot the first 6 months. So don't get mixed up with the church is hot, you hot, everybody's saying come see a man, but they're saying come see the wrong man. I wish I had a witness here. They're saying come see the wrong man, come see our pastor. And that's why when the hotness wears off, y'all know there ain't nobody in the world that was any hotter than Barack Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. But when the hotness wears off, If Jesus is not there in the beginning, then they go back where they came from. I said, don't sign no contract saying you are, and don't you believe that you are drawing cards. Don't you believe that people come to church to see you. Don't you believe that people come to church because of who you are. People come to church to hear a word from the Lord. You don't have saving power. You don't have healing power. You don't have delivering power. And don't you believe that you do. And so it's wrong priorities. But not only wrong priorities, no real interest in winning souls. And then there's another issue that we have as an evangelical church, and that's fear. Y'all come in closely. I've just been telling y'all a lot of stuff. I got something else to tell you. Can I tell you this? That when I start walking those streets of the 19th Ward, come in, listen. Can I tell you, it took me 2 or 3 houses to get comfortable. Can I be honest with you? Can I get somebody to hear what I'm saying? Can I tell you, it took me 2 or 3 houses to get, I preach about Jesus every day from a pulpit, all over the country from a pulpit. But when I start walking up on people's porches and people looking at me as to say, who is this funny looking man walking up on my porch? My name is Robert. I mean, Ricky Harvey. Forget who my name, forget what my name. The first 2 or 3 houses made me forget my name. And that's why you got to keep going. And you got to keep going. And you got to keep going until the Spirit of the Lord takes over. And when the Spirit took over, I could walk up on those houses and I could tell them who I was. I could tell them who, it didn't take me about 3 houses now. I could tell them who I was. I could tell them who I represented. I could tell them this police was with me. And I could tell them what we were trying to do with policemen and residents. And when we got ready to go, I could ask them about Jesus. And I could invite them to know my Savior. I could invite them to my church. And that's what you got to do. You got to keep going. You got to keep going, because the devil tells you nobody wants to hear what you're saying. The devil tells you you're not qualified to say what you're saying. The devil tells you they've heard so much negative about you, nobody wants to hear you. But can I tell you this morning, if somebody wants to hear about the Jesus that you're talking about. Nobody wants to hear about Ricky Harvey, but there are some folk who want to hear about the Jesus that Ricky Harvey knows. Nobody wants to hear about Wade Davis, but there are some folk who want to hear about the Jesus that took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. And so when I finally got that thing together and I figured that who I was did not matter, but who he is matters a lot, makes all the sense, I had no problem. So when I got to the point, come here, I want you to hear this. When I got where I could deny myself, take up my cross and follow him, I wish you could have seen me busting up on those steps. That's why I can preach what I'm preaching today, because I got past that scary part. Come here. I know some of you are afraid because you think you can't talk. You think you don't have the wherewithal. You think you're not qualified. You think I'm just a member. But baby, you are a member that the Lord has raised, that the Lord has kept, that the Lord has saved, that the Lord has changed, that the Lord has made a way, that the Lord has provided for, that the Lord has put food on table, that the Lord has snatched your son from the pits of hell. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're not just a bench member. You're a person sitting on a bench that's been saved and sanctified and set apart and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's the story that you got to walk out those doors and tell somebody else. You got to be able to look at somebody and say, what he's done for me. What he's done for me. And when they tell you where they are, you got to be honest enough to say, I've been there. You got to be honest enough to say, I've been there. When they say I was a wreck, undone, you got to say, I've been there. When they tell you I ain't fit to go to church, you got to be honest and say, I've been there too. I've been there too. But what he's done for me. I'm not going because of this place where I stand. I'm going because of what he done for me. Let me ask you something, and I'm going to let this thing go. Am I talking to somebody here that God has been good to? Am I talking to somebody here that God has made a way, that God has pulled you through when wouldn't nobody else help? God stepped in. Who am I talking to? Come here. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to that says he brought me out? He made a way. That's it. And so he says, go. So he says, go. That's all. That's all. That's all. Somebody said, go. Now, where? Go where? Are you saying go to the 19th ward? Do you remember last Sunday's sermon when Jesus healed that wild man who was running up and down the cemetery and down to the tomb, running up the mountain, down the tomb, up the mountain, down the tomb, up the mountain, down the tomb? And then the verse says he saw Jesus. God Almighty, I wanted to preach that sermon over again because I read that text again where he went up the mountain. Dr. Mackey went up the mountain, down to the tomb, cutting himself, screaming. And folk, Brother Williams, they were looking at this man going up the mountain, down the tomb, up the mountain, down the tomb, cutting himself, screaming. And he saw Jesus. Y'all don't even hear what I'm saying. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he looked at his hands. And his hands looked new. He looked at his feet, and his feet did too. He went up that mountain again, but when it went up this time, something had happened on the inside. And the folk in the community started saying, who is that man? Who is that man? That man said, I've been touched. I've been changed. And you ask me, where do I go? That man who began to worship Jesus. And you know, when you come in contact with Jesus, the first thing you want to do is follow Jesus. You ask me, where do I go? The man said, Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus said, ain't no need of going with me. Here it is right here. Here it is right here. He said, go home. He said, go home. He said, go home. Go tell your sister. Go tell your brother. Go tell your son. Go tell your daughter. Go tell your auntie. Go tell your nephew. Go tell your uncle. And wait. He said, well, if I do that, if I go where you told me to go, when I get there, what must I say? Do I tell them my name? Do I tell them my position? Do I tell them how wealthy I am? Do I tell them where I live? Do I tell them what I drive? Do I tell them what I own? Jesus said, no. The only thing you tell them is tell them what good things. Tell them what good things. Tell them what good things the Lord has done. I'm gone when I ask you, have he done anything good for you? I said, has he done anything good for you? Has he done anything good to you? Well, if the Lord has done something good for you, you've been sick, look like you couldn't get well, and God did it for you. You were in sin, you were in drugs, you were in alcohol, you were in an abused relationship, and the Lord pulled you out. Has he been good to you? Well, if he's been good to you, before you can go out there and tell a stranger about how good God has been, I just want you to get up out of your seat right now and go find somebody and tell them just one or two things that God has done for you. I want you to go into this place. Get up out of your seat. God is making evangelists out of all of us in this room. Deacons, get up out of your seats. Deaconesses, get up out of your seat. Trustees, get up out of your seat. Choir members, get up out of your seat. Ministers, get up out of your seat and go. The Bible says, go find somebody and look them in the face and tell them what he done for me. And tell them what he, don't hug them, but tell them what he done for me. Open your mouth and tell them. I see people hugging, but I ask you to look them in the face. I said, I see people hugging. I said, look them in the face. Look them in the face. Look them in the face. And tell them, just tell them he's been good to me. Just tell them he's been good to me. Just tell them he's been good to me. Look somebody in the face. Open up your mouth and tell them he made a way. He brought me out. Somebody, look somebody in the face and tell them, if you're looking for a miracle, if you're looking for a miracle, if you're looking for a miracle, just look at me. Look at him and tell him, just look at me. Look at him and tell him, just look at me. Look at him and tell him, just look at me. He brought me out. He made a way. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. When I was down and out, he pulled me through. He saved my soul. He made me whole. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and tell somebody just how good. Some of y'all been sick. Some of you been hurt. Some of you been down and out. Some of you been lonely. Some of you been afraid. Some of you been fearful. Some of you been broke. Some of you been broken. Some of you been lied on. Some of you been down and out. But God. But God. Some of you been given up on. Some of you have been given up on. Your family never thought that you would be where you are today. Some of you been given up on. So look your neighbor in the face and tell them, they gave up on me. But God saw me through. Who am I talking to can say, they gave up on me. They gave up on me. They gave up on me. But he pulled me through. Clap those hands for the Lord. Clap those hands for the Lord. Clap those hands for the Lord. Clap those hands. You want to testify?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. You know, some sermons, you know,
I mean, you just got to say what it is, what it is. I mean, I'm just up here crying. I can't stop. Because when I came to Mount Olivet, I just want to tell you the power of this church and the power of what we can do. When I came to Mount Olivet, I came out of a drug addiction. I got 23 misdemeanors on my record. I got 4 or 5 felonies on my record. When I came to Mount Olivet, I came to Mount Olivet after doing 5 years in prison. And when I came in the church, this church right here, I mean, you just took me in. And this is where I stand today. Mike Peterson gave me my first black suit jacket so that I could sing with the men. Tony Ingram, Miss Ingram's son, got me started with the men chorus. I'm telling you, man, what this pastor is saying today, if we could just reach out to somebody who's down out, you could change a life, because you surely changed mine. I love you. Mount Olivet, I love you. We got to go. We got to go. I got to do better. I got to do better. I need to get out here. I need to go and get somebody. I need to help get these pews full, because there's no way that this church should be as empty as it has been. I mean, I just had to say that before we open the doors of the church, because I believe that somebody need to come up here today, give their life to Christ, because that's what it's going to take to get you out of 10 years of drug addiction. That's what it's going to take to get you out of the justice system. I mean, I was there. I was there. I lived it. But Mount Olivet, you stuck with me. Y'all loved on me. I stayed. And this is where I stand today. And I give all praise and glory and honor to the Lord.
Lord touched me with Wade. I saw him wiping his face, but I'm standing in the gap for my mother. The pretty lady over there, wave your hand, Mom. My mother is 91 years old. I came to this church when I was bored, and it's not important how many years. What's important is what God does. We went to church without a car. We walked to church. She gave us a quarter, her last quarter, to put in the church. But it's not about me. It's what I saw my mother go through. She had 3 back operations. She had a spinal fusion. She had a triple bypass. She had 7 stents put in her heart, and she had 7 stents put in her thigh. Pastor Harvey can bear witness that he came there where we thought that my mother was on her deathbed. And we're talking about just a couple years ago. This hasn't been through the years. She worked at GM until she was 70, because the lady said, don't tell your real age, they won't hire you. So when she got ready to retire, she had to prove how old she was. But the thing about it is, she worked till she was 70, not because she wanted to, but because she had a family to support. Her first and last child are no longer with us. My sister was 23 when she got murdered by her boyfriend, my younger sister. My mother had to bear that. And unfortunately, Mount Olivet, during those days, that domestic violence wasn't thought about, and people hid from it. My older brother, they found his car in the New York State Thruway after going through Vietnam and everything, and we never seen him again. And that was 3 years after my sister got murdered. I'm saying that to say, I love Wade's story, but there are people that are hurting that did the right thing that are still here. She is blessed and highly favored, and as a child of hers and a child of God, I feel blessed to have her as my mother, and I feel blessed to be part of the Mount Olivet family, and I am going to reach out to those unchurched, you know.
God is so good. Sometimes God, all the time, God will give you the strength to do things you never thought you could do. Sometimes God's will is to heal and to cure, and people can go on and live a long life. But sometimes God's will is for that loved one to come home to be with him. This past Monday, I buried my sister in Detroit. And because she had lived in California, there was no preacher there that knew her. But praise be to God, he made me a preacher and I knew her. And I can tell you that it was through the strength of God that I was able to stand in that pulpit and tell the people there about the goodness of my sister and tell them how much she loved the Lord and loved singing for him. And I did not break down and I did not miss a beat in sharing a eulogy to encourage the heart.